people. If you do not, most of what I'm going to talk about will be in the notes. Some of what I'm going to discuss will not be. Last two Sunday nights, we've been a little short on people. So I think it must be the meanness of the pastor here. Go ahead and somebody say amen, please. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's all stand, please. We will read 2 Samuel chapter 9. It is 13 verses. Now, everyone look at me. So just we're really clear. Tonight's sermon is not about the main person in the story. It's about the other person. The story of Mephibosheth, which is, try saying that three times quickly. Mephibosheth is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. But there's another story, and I'm going to deal tonight with Ziba. I have entitled him a servant. That doesn't come from the sky. That's what he is called repeatedly in this passage. And by the way, this time tonight is it's not going to be deep. It's not going to be heavy. But it is going to deal with a very important subject. You say what? He's a minor character. He's only found in three chapters of the Bible. He is not a major impact player in some ways, but he teaches us something about what you will encounter with people. Okay? 2 Samuel 9. And this is the beautiful story is Mephibosheth, and by the way, and David. That's the beautiful story. I'll deal with that some other time. David said, I'll say this again later. We are now 15 to 20 years after the death of Jonathan and Saul. Remember, David was 7.5 years, 2 Samuel 5, 7.5 years he was king just of the south and a couple of tribes. There was still a rebellion with Saul's family. Everybody with me? 7.5 years. We're way past that. Most scholars say 15 or so years here, maybe 20 years at the last part of the story. So we're down the road a ways. David remembers the covenant that he made with. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness? That beautiful Hebrew word, chesed. It is one of the most richest words in the Old Testament. It means grace, mercy, long-suffering. It's that kind of thing that you complete and keep your oaths. And you show mercy to another. So he says, is there anybody left? By the way, at this stage, he doesn't really know. Verse 2. And there was of the house of Saul, what's that next word? Yes. That we'll talk about that later. There was a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they were called, they called him unto David. The king said unto him, are thou Ziba? You know, you Ziba? And he says, thy servant is he. He calls himself a servant. That's nice. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him again? Chesed. Kindness. He now states it differently, that I may show the kindness of God unto him. And Ziba said unto the king, well, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. By the way, that'll play in the story. Yes, as we move forward. That happened in 2 Samuel 4 during one of these messes. A person that was his servant picked him up as a child, tried to flee, dropped him. He was lame the rest of his life. That's the story. It says, Ziba said, behold, he is in the house in verse 4. Well, the king wants to know, where is he in verse 4? And he says, well, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. We read about that last week in a little later text. Different setting. Then King David sent and fetched him. I love that word, fetched. We don't use that of people much anymore. In the Philippines, Noel, they're always wanting to fetch me. We'll come and fetch me. I tried to explain to my Filipino brethren, that's what you do with a dog. You don't fetch people. But I guess in one period of time, we used to fetch people. I don't know. So he sent for him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. Look at me. Why? Saul's family had been David's enemies. You say, well, I'm a very religious person. David, how do you know that? This is real world. This isn't religion. He's scared that he's going to get killed. So he falls on his face. He pays him due reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, he answered, behold thy servant. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee, again, we're back to that word, kindness, for Jonathan thy father-in-law's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He bowed himself and said, this is beautiful. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? I don't think that was pious. He was crippled. He had nothing. Why are you looking after me? Then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son, Mephibosheth, all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread away always at my table. Then there's one of those parentheses, by the way, friend, that's the most important line you have read on Ziba's part of the story. Everybody look at me. What was Ziba? How many servants have 15 children and 20? By the way, by this time you should be, something is smelling a little off in the story. Unless you're really a pious person. We continue. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded to his servant, so shall thy servant do. And Mephibosheth said to the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. I haven't read it in Hebrew this week. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto whom? By the way, that's another aside. That's not part of the story. That's the author making a comment that now Ziba and all that dwelt in his house were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. I'm going to do this as fast as I can. I'd love to get done at 7 o'clock or 7:05. We're not going to read every verse. You're going to have to have it engaged. This is not heavy. This is not mean. This is simply this. Ziba, and you are going to fill in whose servant was he? By the way, but not from your religion, not from your feelings, from the text always. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time. I ask as I try to get these big ideas, because in life, this is part of life also. Help us, in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I have in your notes at the top, if you're interested, Ziba is mentioned 13 times in 2 Samuel, chapter 9, chapter 16, and chapter 19. 13 times. Back in the Dark Ages, Paul Harvey used to have a program. You all remember it. Do you guys remember Paul Harvey? Is that... And now for the rest of the story. He would tell a story, or he'd give you the introduction. He told you the rest of the story. By the way, when you think of the life of Ziba, that's the best way to read the text. You hear something in chapter 9, you hear something in chapter 16, and when you get to 19, you're like, so I'm going to tell you this quickly. When I was a young man, by the way, we got several younger people here. We got two brothers, a very smart, mature Isaac. We have Big B, very mature, except all that fuzzy stuff growing all over his face, right? Now, I'm being funny. When I was their age was the first time I ever read the Bible. I grew up in church. I heard preaching. I heard teaching. This was my impression of the Bible. The New Testament was all about salvation, Jesus, the apostles, good stuff. The Old Testament, I liked it because of what? Stories. I especially liked the stories of like David and Goliath. You know, that was cool stuff. Then I read it. I had many surprises along the way. When I first started reading, I thought most of the stories would be about good guys. And then I discovered there's also bad guys or evil guys. Yes? And then I discovered, and that's tonight, you're really not sure. Can I say this? In life, you're going to run into a lot of stuff that you like. By the way, everybody likes it neat and tidy. On over here, on is good. Yes, on is perfect over here. Let me find somebody evil. I don't have anybody. None of my usual suspects are here. I can't pick on anybody, but it's just we like good and evil. Can I say this? Ziba's a story that leaves you, in your notes. We start with a very simple premise. I'm going to walk through this stuff quickly, very quickly. The introduction. I have this in here for your further reading because the story about Mephibosheth is priceless. The story transpires. Well, number one, I say Ziba is a servant of Saul or the household of Saul, at least initially. Then I have dot, 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 because I think it's more than that. And I think the story, the author of Scripture, those little asides, you know what an aside is? The story's moving along. People are talking, but the author is standing somewhat outside the story just saying, hey, but a servant had 15 children. That should get your attention. And had 20 servants of his own. That doesn't sound right. That's the kind of stuff that you learn from the author, which is ultimately the Holy Spirit commenting on the story. All right, we continue. I'm not going to get into all that right this second. I say in your notes, the story transpires 15 to 20, most scholars think, after the death of Saul and Jonathan. Completely mixed up with the story of Mephibosheth, which is a gospel story, a beautiful story of, you know, the Lord Jesus, according to the Abrahamic covenant, coming to keep his promises to Abraham, obviously part of the Davidic covenant, the new covenant, keeping all of those covenant promises, coming to earth to die on the cross for us. All of that's this story. So this is a gospel story. That's not what I'm going to deal with tonight, though. Simply stated, I'm going to read none of these verses. All of these verses you can read. David wants to keep his promises and his covenant with Jonathan. That's the basis of the story. Maybe 15, maybe a little less, but not too much. So you can't squeeze it in there. About 15 years later, he wants to keep his promise to Jonathan. And the promises, some of them were in the text. I'll skip over them. Go past the verses down to Ziba. I say in your notes, Ziba was a servant. That is a word. Everyone look at me. I'll read it to you. You can read it. That is a word in the Bible capable of multiple meanings, even within the same context. You know the word from I preached a sermon this summer on Ebed-Melech. Ebed is the Hebrew word for, are you ready? Slave? You know, slave. Ebed-Melech was no slave. He was the extreme opposite end of the equation. Though he was a sub-Saharan African serving one of the last kings of Judah, he would be a minister of the king, like in a cabinet servant. You know, not a slave at all, but somebody important. So you can use this in a broad range. Normally, it either means a slave or a servant, not necessarily in bondage, but of a lower class or treated that way. But it can also mean in a more of a neutral setting. I have in your notes, it can also mean like an assistant or a helper. By the way, Jesus says the greatest of all is the servant. That's somebody that comes alongside and assists, helps, contributes. All of this is true. So what was he? Well, we'll see. In your notes, I'll start with this. Ziba, according to the text, was a servant in Saul's household. So Saul and Jonathan get killed by the Philistines, 1 Samuel 30 and 31. David is not there. In 2 Samuel 1 and 2, somewhat, David mourns them. You know the story. They're long gone. But folks, after they die, David should have been the king. But there's a relative, and then there's fighting that goes on for a while. Chapter 3, chapter 5, it gets over finally. 7.5 years later, David is the king of the United Kingdom, both sides. That's what happened. So Ziba was a servant a long time, 15 years after death. He still got that title, a servant of Saul's house. I say in your notes, he was managing Saul's property at this time. You all understand managing? Please look at me in the eyes. Are you thinking? Saul's dead. Jonathan's dead. None of Saul's descendants live there. When you're managing property, you're managing it for whom? Well, you're supposed to be for somebody else, but it's like, but who? It just leaves that hanging. By the way, that whole thing is going to be hanging in this whole story. He is managing Saul's property, but he isn't giving anything to Saul because Saul's dead. Mephibosheth is living elsewhere. We do not know why. I asked the question, why? Why is it, by the way, if you're managing Saul's property and Mephibosheth is a descendant of Saul, why isn't he living on his property? Yes? Just makes sense, friend. By the way, things get real funky here. Yes. We continue. Things become more complex. Look at back at verse 7. Now, I know I can be, you think, Pastor, you're reading this too cynically. By the way, I'm not at all. Trust me, there's a very cynical way of reading this, and I'm not reading it that way. Verse 7 says this, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will what? If, look at me, if you have to restore the property, who else has the property? And I know that we have a hard time getting our head out of our own circumstances. Saul would have probably been a bigger landowner being the king. Yes or no? So who's running it? Who has it? Mephibosheth, by the way, when you read this story about Mephibosheth, your heart's so warmed. But if you read the backside of the story, if Ziba is managing the property, for whom? Well, I don't know who, because he's, you know, we don't know. And if he has the property, we got a problem here, folks. The property is going to be restored. I say in your notes, restored. After 15 to 20 years, by the way. Verses 9 and 10, this is just Pastor Warren's very cynical way of saying something. By the way, has anybody ever been demoted? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever been demoted? How would you like to be demoted? I was the boss, and somebody came along, and look at me. I'm going to use Dada because I love him. He knows that. Dada comes along, and the big boss likes Dada more than me, and he promotes Dada to my job. What happens to me? I get demoted in some fashion. Well, verses 9 and 10, we have a promotion for one becomes obviously a demotion for the other. So when you read back at verse 9 and 10, it says, the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Now, therefore, by the way, you need to read this and hear it. Now, therefore, here's the upside for you, Ziba. Thou, therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for whom? Boy, this puts a different spin on this story. So we have a promotion for one becomes a demotion for another. Verse 10 is what you call an aside. Everybody look at me. Remember, the story has characters. It has David, it has Ziba, it has Mephibosheth. In the backdrop, there's this guy from Lodabar, but he doesn't talk or anything. And then you have the author of Scripture every once in a while saying, let me just add one small line. I've already given it away. What's that one small line? Well, he does have 15 sons. How many people have 15 sons? And 20 Would that be an important person in places that you're familiar with? Or not an important person? By the way, friends, I read a history book of the state of Oklahoma. I read it intentionally recently. By the way, if you don't like history, don't listen. I read it intentionally because I wanted to learn about the Trail of Tears, which was basically white people robbing not that many Native Americans, shoving them out to Oklahoma to bless them. But in the Civil War, everybody take one of those double deep breaths. I'm not being cruel. In the Civil War, all of those tribes joined the South to fight for the South because they all owned slaves. And Juneteenth, nothing wrong with Juneteenth. I have no problem honoring, you know, that's fine. But it wasn't, the Civil War wasn't over then. It was the Native American tribes that gave up last because they didn't want to give up their black slaves. Smell that one. By the way, here's a guy that for 15 to 20 years has been living pretty well off of something that wasn't his. And all of a sudden, David comes along. By the way, David's doing something good for Mephibosheth. Hey, should have been done for him all along. And Ziba got demoted. All right, we continue. So the aside, the second aside is in verse 12, where it says, Mephibosheth had a son whose name was Micah, whatever, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. All right, we're going to look at chapter 16. That's the first section of the story. You say, Pastor Warren, what is your point? Everyone look at me. I got one point. There are good people, godly people that on the whole you're going to love. They're going to help you go down the right road. There are evil people, but the problem is I worked in the Navy. I worked in a hospital setting too after that. Would you believe there's some people you're not real sure where to put them in this process? They're not all evil. They're certainly not good. They're kind of, my big word, ambiguous. All ambiguous. Well, 2 Samuel 16. Now, for you that were here last week, everybody look at me. Were you here last week? Last week we dealt with Barzillai. Remember, after this point, his family comes apart. Yes? You know, he has a daughter raped. He has a son that gets murdered. He has Absalom, another son. These are half brothers and half sisters. Absalom rebels, and David has to run. Do you remember Barzillai met David? We're at the same thing, only Ziba meets David earlier. 2 Samuel 16. You can just look in your notes or in your Bibles. Either one will work. 2 Samuel 16, verse 1. It says this. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, that might be the Mount of Olives. You know, I don't want to get into specifics because we lose the track of the story. But David is trying to get out. It says, Ziba, the son of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of donkeys, we'd say today. The other word has other implications. A couple of donkeys saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. He had some food. He had something to drink. He had some transportation. In Hebrew, by the way, that word summer fruit is tacos, just so everybody knows, okay? No, it's not. Verse 2. And the king said unto Ziba, what's he say? What are you doing this for? Do you ask? By the way, if you bring me something tonight, you know, sometimes people go out of town, go on vacation, and when they come home, they bring us a little something. That's beautiful. I do the same for people. You don't think anything of it, but somebody came up to me and said, Pastor Warren, I want to give you something. I want to give you $5,000. Can I say this to you? Go ahead and give it to me tonight, please. No. I would want to know. You know what I'd really want to know? What do you want? Hello? What do you want? By the way, he didn't do this to Barzillai, because Barzillai was a man of means, well-known, none of this. All right, let's keep reading. What, King James English, what meanest thou by these? What does this mean? And Ziba said, Well, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat. Well, that all makes sense. And the wine, that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king's son, by the way, he asks a second question now. Well, where is thy master's son? Where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. What's he doing to Mephibosheth? Well, he's throwing him under the bus minimally. Is he telling the truth? That's part of the ambiguity. Verse 4. Then said the king to Ziba. All right, everybody, look up here first. Do you get the story? Who was in charge of this land for 15 years? And by the way, we're not talking about 1 acre in the backyard. We're talking the king of Israel's property. Who was in charge? Ziba. Look what David says to Ziba. And by the way, this was a critical time. David needed stuff, but David was trying to flee for a while. All right? Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. All that land is now yours, Ziba. By the way, what are you bringing me that gift for? You want five? What do you want for that 5 grand? That's nice. We need the food. But what do you? I don't think David was in the condition to think about this. So he gives everything to him. And then Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I might find grace in thy sight, my Lord, O King. Okay, that's very special. I have in your notes, number one, Ziba was a servant of Saul of some variety. My guess is not a slave. My guess is not even lower class. My guess is he was some kind of an official that, you know, ran the properties maybe. And when Saul and Jonathan are dead, now he takes over the properties for 15 years. Mephibosheth benefits nothing. And now David is fleeing and he comes to be a blessing. Next page, please. I say this and you have to read the whole. I mean, I'm going to try to tell the whole truth. At a crucial time and earlier than Barzillai, Ziba comes to help David. That's a fact. He brings a couple of animals, which would be helpful to transport people or things. He brings some food. He brings some. Now, raisins wouldn't be my idea of a good time. I would think PDD, some lumpia. I would think, but they brought raisins. They brought something to drink. I mean, he brings things. That's true. That's not questionable. Verse 2 and 3. It seems to me in verse 2 and 3 that David is suspicious. But how do you know? It isn't like David could say, well, you know, let me just take a little time to reflect on this as his own son is trying to kill him and chase him out of here. David is getting away. David doesn't have time for reflection, consulting. David's benefiting, but he does seem to be a little bit suspicious. The suspicion happens with two questions. The two questions are under the verses, which is, the two questions I didn't list, but I underlined them in the previous text. The two questions are simply these. What does this mean? Why are you doing this? And where is Mephibosheth? So David seems to be suspicious. In the best of times, everybody look at me. My daughter's not here tonight. She was at a big party today. I'm not happy about that, but that's life. Can I say this? We have problems with students occasionally. Ma'am, do you ever have a problem with a student? Never in the whole time. By the way, you know parents get all upset when their kid gets in trouble. Do you know your kid's a kid? I was in trouble all the time. I spent most of my grade school with my nose against the wall back in the dark ages. And honestly, I probably should have spent more time there. I can remember standing against, we had walls like this in the center of our little grade school in Fieldon, Illinois, and you'd put your nose, and as you grew taller, you would start noticing how many lines up the wall you could put your nose. I mean, I lived there. I was in trouble. All right. Everything being equal, and this is many times in the Bible, friend, Proverbs 18:17, he that is first in his own cause, Ziba, seems just, but his neighbor comes later on and searcheth him out, so to speak, and then you know more of the truth. One of the most repeated phrases in the Bible is not the text here, but the last part of it. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. I mean, getting evidence, seeking information is the norm. David didn't have time. Verse 3, I don't have a comment about. Is it true that Mephibosheth really thought he could be the king? Or, I don't know. Whose thoughts are they? I'm more cynical than some of you. I tend to think these is Ziba talking about Ziba. But I have no proof of that. By the way, I do have proof that what he said was a lie. You'll get that later. By the way, proof that you can, it's incontrovertible. You can't violate it because of what Mephibosheth was actually doing. But David didn't know. I say in your notes, 16 verse 4, David gives Ziba all the property. And I say in your notes, David didn't know and David didn't have time to figure it out. That's just a given. Well, we come to the last part. I call it Ziba, a servant of Ziba. Now, I'm going to say this. Everyone look at me for one moment. This is no criticism of anyone. This is not about anyone. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. Most people are going to do what benefits them. You say, it's only the rare person that will say, look at me, please. This is right. This benefits me. I'm going to do right. Most everybody I've ever met chooses what benefits them. So I don't know how evil Ziba was, or was he just a person that wanted to benefit him and his how many sons? 15 sons, and you know, maybe it was just that. You understand? I don't know. I'm not trying to make him evil. Certainly not good. He's an ambiguous character. I would say most people, if it comes to push comes to shove, and here's right, and here's me, or my family, or my posse, or my sycophants, or the people that shine my head, I'm choosing the people that shine my head, not right. That's most people. Maybe that's all people at times, outside of Daniel, his three friends, people like that. Lastly, I come to what I'm going to call it, Ziba. At least at the end, we find that he was a servant of Ziba. All right, last portion that talks about him in your notes. Mephibosheth, 1924, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. Look at me, friends. You don't have to agree with my interpretation, but you cannot disagree with the facts. Do you understand facts? You can't change the facts. He had been in mourning this whole time for David. So it says he finally gets there. This is now when David, like Barzillai met him both leaving and coming back. When he's coming back to Jerusalem, Mephibosheth somehow gets there, and it says clearly he had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed unto the day he came again in peace. That, again, that's an aside from the author. That's not Mephibosheth saying, look at my clothes. No, Mephibosheth never mentioned it. The author steps outside of the story and says, look what he done. This man had been in mourning. So look at me in the eyes. One thing I know is Ziba was lying about something. You say, how dare you? By the way, friend, I have met people that lie all the time. Most people will lie if it benefits them. I said most people. I think that's 95% of people, and maybe 99% of people, except in those extreme circumstances. Mephibosheth hadn't been partying up, waiting for, hoping David didn't come back. That's what the text says. That's what the author says outside of the story. Verse 25. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me? Why didn't you come with me, Mephibosheth? He's remembering Ziba's story. And he answered, my lord, O king, that my servant, what did what? By the way, does this sound legitimate, what he says? He says he deceived me in what way? For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass. that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame." But he obviously didn't do that. So he would have liked to have come, but he was unable to pull that off. And then he says in verse 27, "He hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king." Now, by the way, the hardest thing to read is these next statements, because this shows you the heart of the man. "But my lord the king is as an angel of God." He says, "Do therefore what is good in your eyes, David, whatever you want." Verse 28, "For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou send thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table." What this is. What, by the way, any believer feels this way with God. We don't think we deserve heaven. We don't deserve salvation. We deserve nothing. He says, "What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" And then you come to this kind of weird thing. "The king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, I'll make it modern in you and Ziba, divide the land." By the way, is that what he said? Well, it's what he said here, but earlier he said, "It's your property, Mephibosheth, your property, Ziba." Now he's saying, "Split it down the middle and each take half," or something. Kind of weird. Verse 30, "Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea," or "yes, let Ziba take everything. For as much as my lord, the king, is come again in peace unto his own house." Everyone look at me. I'm not going to read this story. I'm going to bullet point some things and we're done. This is what I find. Look at me. Outside of the story, remember, you have to look at the author's viewpoint. The author is not in the story. The author is outside. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit says, that whole period of time David was running, Mephibosheth was in mourning. And you can't fake that. You can't cause your fingernails to grow, your beard to grow. You know, that's the period of time. He has been in mourning that whole time. That's a fact. Then he tells the story. He says, "My Ziba deceived me." That sounds legitimate, because he didn't have the ability to walk. He not only deceived me, he slandered me to you. That sounds legitimate. David's response is a little weird. He says, "Just split the land. Look at me." But the beautiful part is, Mephibosheth wasn't interested. In your notes, verse 24. That is the author's comment. The physical evidence. You can't fake the physical evidence, friend. You can't fake this kind of mourning, because it was physical. You can't cause all of this to happen. That's a fact. Verse 25. The question, "Why didn't you come down with me, Mephibosheth?" Verse 26 and 27. Well, he said, "Ziba deceived me and Ziba slandered me." In my way of thinking, Mephibosheth's story makes perfect sense. Verse 27 to 28 and verse 30, you find humility and gratitude at the highest level. But the strange part of the story is, and I don't know what to make of this, David maybe wasn't sure. Maybe he didn't have enough discernment at this point in life, but David earlier on would say, "Hey, the land is yours, the land that belonged to Mephibosheth is yours, Ziba." And now he says, "You guys divide the land." Concluding thoughts. Almost all people are ambiguous. Look at me in the eyes, everybody. When I look at a person, including you, with few exceptions, there's probably, that I know, two or three people in this room that would have a harder time playing a game than others. I already know some people can lie to themselves regularly. I said to themselves. Now, I know, I'm not going to say who. It's always women, by the way, that don't. There's always women that are pretty much cannot. My mother, by the way, this is a funny story. Jenny, I know you've heard this from my mom and my dad, maybe in the day. When they got married, mom was too young to get married. They were going to lie to the person and say she was old enough. But my mother has a hard time lying. Almost impossible for her to lie about anything. She says, "I tried to lie, but I did the dates the wrong direction. So instead of being older, I end up being younger." She said, "Then dad had to pay extra money to get married." There are people, by the way, but most people, look at me, most people have elements of ambiguity.
See, I don't like that.
Welcome to the reality. In your notes, almost all people are ambiguous. All can be more than one thing. All can be more than one thing and are capable of more than one action. I wish this weren't true. We might talk about this Wednesday. I haven't decided. Motives can be mixed. You can have more than one motive. Do we all agree with that? I can have a motive to do right, but if it's my precious whatever, I can also have a motive to defend, and thus motives get all intermixed. And is Ziba one of those? I tend to think Ziba tilts a little bit towards the evil, but still, he came and helped David. I don't know. It's a mixed mess. In your notes, motives and actions can be complicated. And I conclude tonight by this. We can't always unravel all of it. Now, look at me in the eyes. Do you think you fooled me? I've been doing this business for 40 plus years. But I will say, I find most people have elements of ambiguity. I wish we didn't. By the way, when I say most people, I'm one of those most people. Can you preach a sermon for pure motives, Tim? I can get up and preach the Word of God. And that was my whole intention. But I look out here at Taquito over here. I'm going to pick on him tonight. Look over at Taquito, and I know he's been bad. I told some folks last night that in my church, I have a guy that calls me not el pastor, you know, the pastor. He calls me al pastor, marinated pork. By the way, they were Mexican. They got the joke. It's a joke, folks. Listen, I know people are capable. Are you? Here's my problem. You're going to work with people. You're going to go to church with people. You're going to have people in your family. And you've got to grow up and realize not everybody wears a white hat, for you old people, or a black hat. Some people wear a gray hat, and they're hard to figure out. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Ziba was an interesting character, but the story of Mephibosheth is so heartbreakingly beautiful. It's worthy, obviously, of its own time. Thank you. As a young man reading this, I was so confused in these stories. As an older man, they're not so confusing anymore. They're pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious that you, the author of the scripture, is making comments on this that tell us all along the way, Ziba was a complicated guy. He probably ran Saul's property. He benefited from Saul's property. He thought he deserved Saul's property. He even deceived his own master. He slandered him. And in the long run, he still benefited to some degree. Father, as I often say, welcome to life. Help us to hear now in Christ's name. Amen.